Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street, back at my favorite place, Gary's Wine and Marketplace in Wayne, New Jersey, here with Gary Fish himself. Dragged him out. Man, the joint is jumping here today.
We love Christmas.
Holy Toledo. And George Shirley is here with us as well. He's a wine associate here. Gary dragged him off the floor to put his two cents in. Thank you for being here, George.
Thank you.
All right, this is a question that everyone asks. I'm sure you guys get it every day. Find me a great red wine under $30.
Well, what we did today is we picked Cabernet Sauvignon.
And that is even harder to find some days.
From California. Napa, for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're kind of playing point counterpoint here. I'm representing America with a Sonoma Cabernet and a Napa Valley Cabernet. And Gerard, what are you representing?
I'm representing Italy. We are at Sant'Antimo and Brunello, Montalcino. And we have a Felino Cab by Vino Cobos, which is from Argentina and along the Coyo.
So interesting. So Cabernet all across the board here.
You can make Cabernet, and it's a versatile grape. And it's made in 90% of places that make wine have a Cabernet Sauvignon.
And it was just Cabernet Franc Day the other day, so we have to tip our hat to Cab Franc because it's of Cabernet Sauvignon, right? Cab Franc and Sauvignon Blanc sort of had a little something. Right. And then out came Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wow.
Yes. How about that?
That's
hanky panky in the grape world.
All right.
Okay. $30, I think, is reasonable price for...
Yeah, $30, you should be able to get a very good bottle of wine from anywhere, any varietal, actually.
And interesting that you were going overseas, because that's probably where you find the most value, right, Gerard?
Yes, absolutely.
Because Napa, we all love Napa, but they are jacking the prices a little bit these days.
Napa's becoming much more expensive,
yeah.
That's for sure.
A great run of vintages, and they're taking advantage of that. Yields are lower, but they're, you know, big buyers out there, supply and demand.
And they're getting it. You're right.
Yeah.
The demand is there. People are paying it. So
it's
for those of us that are
wines and that's
broke,
what people are looking for.
let's go find great wine for broke people. So what do you want to start with here? So we're starting with the Felino, right?
We'll start with the Felino Cab. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about this. This is Mendoza, Argentina.
Yeah, right.
Who makes it? Who's involved in this project?
So this is a Paul Hobbs project that he teamed up with the Macuri and the Barot families. So it's mostly from the Macuri estate in the Loan de Coyo. The Loan de Coyo is very unique because the elevation is higher, so you have very good acidity, cooler nights, but great warmth in the day in the slopes of the Andes. This is the opening of his line, the Felino. From here, it goes to Cabos.
That's
and it goes to Bon
Mar.
I got to tell you, I have not had this one.
I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
I'm sure I've had it. I haven't had it recently, to my memory. It's got great fruit in the nose.
Holy
it's
Toledo.
Ripe in the nose. It's got good extraction, good mid-palate, a little, I call it sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the mid, you know, it's almost making me want more. There's a great flavor.
Great
the finish is a little soft. It doesn't go for... There's
no,
not
it
the
doesn't.
Tannins are very supple and soft.
No, but for the price point, it is.
It's
still lingering in your mouth.
It's a whopping $16.
This is a great... I got to tell you.
Wow. All right, I got to take a bottle. Good one.
Sorry about that.
It scores very high, and certainly for its price point.
This is something I think more and more people are opening their minds to value wines around the world.
And, you know, it's funny, I'm at fault also because I think of Argentina. You know, we get so many great Malbecs out of Argentina. And we've also been getting some Syrahs out of Argentina that are killer, rich, and spicy. I don't think Argentina frequently when I'm thinking Cabernet Sauvignon. It's not my go-to place, personally.
It goes very well there, just like Malbec. Think Bordeaux varietals, they all do very well there. It has a longer ripening season, so you actually can take advantage of that. That's what Cabernet Sauvignon needs. It can't grow in areas where the ripening season cuts short. It's too thin, you get too much bell pepper, you don't get really the richness in the wine.
So you need it to have a long growing season.
You do need a long
growing season. Okay, that's fair. That's
this
cool.
is why Napa works so well, because they have the longest...
Because the weather is blessed.
Temperature and
Gary's smiling because it's a tip to his Napa Valley. All right, so we're now moving on to Italy.
We're in... Yeah, I poured it for you.
Right.
Before he dumps it out.
Come on. We're
I always look at the cameras.
We're in Montalcino. We're in Montalcino. That's the
yes,
home of Sangiovese.
Yeah.
So you picked a Cabernet from the home of Sangiovese?
Yes, I do.
I mean, isn't that like going to the Pope on Hanukkah?
Well, the short story around this was... Yeah.
Where does that come from?
That's a great analogy. Oh, especially since we are in Hanukkah and all.
Yes. Once Tuscany and Bulgari started to want to make international varietals, Montalcino said, we can do this too. And so in the 90s, they finally gave in and said, we'll give you DOC. There's only IGT in Bulgari, but it, DOC status, so you can make Cabernet Sauvignon, varietal specifics, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and so on. And it turned out that Cabernet Sauvignon, they were correct, does very well there. You have the warmth, you have this wind that keeps it dry, even if it's a wet season. This vintage actually is a very, very warm season.
2012.
Right, but there are clay and alluvium soils there, so basically it can hold the moisture.
But isn't Montalcino a big mountain, hill?
Well, it started as a hillside town, which it still is, but it's grown in an area now, it's expanded, which is why you see so many more producers than you used to. There used to be maybe 8 families are producing this, and now there's hundreds.
And you're right, so you got this hilltop town, and then there are like knolls surrounding it. So you come from the valley and you kind of work your way up to
I understand. 100% Cabernet.
100% Cabernet.
Wow.
From the Poggio de Castellari.
So it's to me, it's much more, it's less fruit.
Less fruit, more structure.
More structure.
A little bit, I don't get that mid-palate sweetness that I was talking about with the first one, I get greater length. And again, I don't taste the tannin.
No.
But it's there.
It's there, it's fine. It's very
and
fine.
And I'm getting a little bit more meatiness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Which it's kind of making me want meat, you know. It's got something there.
You want to eat something with it.
When you talk about pairing food with Cabernet, this is a great example because the balance is there, as you said, the structure, the tannin. And if you had this with the meat, the fruit itself would explode even further and it'd be harmonious with the fruit.
This is $30. Retails for about $30.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure I want to taste the American ones after these two.
I mean, they're great.
They're great values. I got to tell you,
it's nice to see. You can see how the expression can change and how this is more elegant, like you'd find in Bordeaux, so to speak.
But
although it's blended in Bordeaux.
But I also think really interesting you picked Montalcino because, as you said, Sangiovese, those bottles can get so expensive, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
especially great ratings.
But Montalcino's hot. You know, people are looking for great Brunellas, and there are a lot of great Brunellas
out there. 2010 has put them on the map.
But in fairness, it has opened up in style, so there's entry levels, which you can get them for $30. We have wonderful Brunellas of that, and then you get the collectibles that you shouldn't touch for 5 to 10 years, and they're going to run you closer to 100. But they're getting 100-point scores. We just had a study for it.
No, we've done Brunellos here, actually, and I'll make sure I include the link again. We've talked about how great the 2010s were. Like,
Should we do a 100-point tasting one day?
I don't know.
Just, I'm throwing it out there.
Hey, tune in. We're going to taste 100-point wines. That's actually kind of mean to taste and have people listen.
That's a problem.
It's kind of mean, but I still think we should do it. All right, so we're moving back to the United States of America here.
So this now is Baus Family Cabernet. It's a very small Sonoma producer.
But Sonoma, not Napa.
This is Sonoma.
Okay.
It's how much is it? $15?
Yeah.
$14.99.
Crazy.
So we're going back to that entry price point, which is real value. 2014, very young.
Very young.
And I have not tasted this in a while, so this will be fun. You get the colors is not nearly as dark as the Montalcino.
It's got that Napa Valley purple to me.
Definitely has California purple, dark.
Right?
It's a little blue fruit influence, black fruit. So
it's funny. I'm getting a little bit. I'm not getting the richness as either of the two imported ones. To be honest with you,
it's younger. Right, the Foligno is what year?
With 12 and
18? Can't see
13. Yeah, so it's
I
funny. 12 vintage, 13
on
vintage.
Label. That's not good.
I need my glasses for
everything. Toledo.
So this is 14. So we've gotten ourselves younger as we go. And purpler, the nose is a little lighter.
Well, the barrel, without having the length of time in barrel, so you start to see less of the garnet and more.
But man, it's like a cherries, right?
Huh. Yeah, you get a good mixture of black and blue fruit.
Yeah, and you're getting
red fruit.
You're getting more of that riper, sweeter style.
Yeah, yep.
It's funny. This would be a great taste test between the Argentinian and this, similarly priced.
Yeah.
It's not fair to go to a double price and ask
agreed,
for it to be, do the same for you. It's got good fruit in the nose. I don't think it's got good mid palate and a good finish. It's not as structured as the Argentinian wine, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it is.
But it's
lush.
A 13 for a 13.
This is 2014.
Excuse me. It's a 14.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
It's a lush fruit.
It's a baby that hasn't been baptized yet.
Yeah.
Back to that.
Well, it's crafted to drink now.
I mean, we keep the Pope in Christmas.
I think
it's a great choice.
Delicious.
That is
if you're
a great
having
choice.
A cocktail party and you want a Cabernet and $15 is your budget, I think
exactly.
It's perfect for it.
Perfect, exactly.
That's the perfect way to describe it, right? This is
that's
a wine that you can afford to buy a bunch of bottles of and no one is going to be disappointed.
That's right.
The Castellari, that's a food. You know, that would boggle people's minds.
But isn't that also the way Italians make their wine?
That's right.
Because they want to eat with it.
They're not drinking wine as a cocktail. They're drinking wine as part of the meal.
Right. That's almost more of an American thing, isn't it? That we drink just because we're
You'd have like a steak Florentine with this or sometime a Tuscan-style steak sliced in,
Well, now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, me too.
So you had to bring up steak Florentine. Okay, now.
All right. This was a great choice. You guys, I'm thrilled. These are great choices. I almost feel bad dumping them out.
Well, we dump out a lot of wine.
It's unfortunate.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking about good fortune.
Go ahead. Tell us.
Go figure. it's our wine. It's, made for us.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in most growing regions is you grow more fruit than you need for your final product.
Right.
The goal is to make the best you can possibly make. And since it's agricultural, you don't know in advance how many cases of vineyard, how many cases of wine or barrels you can get from a vineyard. You don't know the quality of all the fruit you're getting.
Right.
So in advance of production, you're contracting or growing much more fruit than you would need.
Fair enough.
In good vintages, which we've had a run of, we said, these great wineries have more fruit than they're willing to put under their name.
Because if they put too many bottles out, all of a sudden the price goes down.
Supply and demand.
The cachet goes down, right?
So they can be more selective.
It's all business.
Right. Well, and they should be more selective.
Yes, I agree.
So as they're doing their blends now, they will call me up and say, Gary, we're doing our final blend, and we're going to have 14 extra barrels or 40 extra barrels. Would you have an interest? And when we're in Napa, we make appointments to meet with people. Or frequently, they'll just send us what that blend looks like. And if we like it, we sign off on it. And 6 months later, 3 months later, it shows up.
So this is a blend.
This is a Cabernet-based blend.
Of?
Cabernet, there's some Merlot in it, and I believe some...
Where's your wine? Yeah, it doesn't say.
It doesn't say the blend.
Okay.
But I know the winery that makes it for us, they're predominantly Cabernet, and they've been playing with Malbec and Cab Franc.
Love that. See now
it's 12 vintage.
And you get a ton of fruit.
But you get a little more...
What's important here, that dusty tannin, which is Rutherford is known for.
Yes, I get that.
The benchin, as they call it on Rutherford, that cuts through, lends this very unique tannin structure to the wine.
So you're getting great fruit, but you're not getting that sweet, riper fruit that you got with the boughs.
Right.
No, it's more black cherries versus cherries.
And you are getting that dustiness in the nose and the cherry.
Black, right?
In a blind tasting, that's how you would pick Rutherford out in Napa. People think you can't really pick out all Napas the same. It's not true. So
you get
really
the dust.
Too, and it's just the way that the microclimates that exist in Napa change.
Gary, this is great.
I got to tell you, this is... Well, you.
I get a little more tannin in yours.
Yes.
Right?
It's got a little more structure. How are you? A little more tannin. It's got a great mid palate.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a longer finish, I think, than the others.
The flavors go on.
That's right. You're tasting, first of all, skin contact, longer maceration time, bigger extraction, longer time in very fine oak. So that will factor into the structure, it factors into the richness of the wine, creates that full palate.
And it's funny, because I do love this wine, but I like the comparison. The New World Napa Valley style, Cabernet, the Old World Italian style. It's a great comparison.
It sure is.
They're two very different wines, and both about the same price. So this
right, because your wine retails for about $28.
And versus $30. So that to me is the same. And that's a fun comparison. And then we have the Argentinian versus the Sonoma, where you, for $15, you're not dealing with the level of tannin structure, you're not dealing with as much finish necessarily,
right.
But they're fun, friendly, fruit-forward wines.
Interesting, though, that the American wines, you can just pick up a bottle and go sit on the porch and drink away a long day.
There's no reason. These wines definitely, over time, will soften, integrate the tannin better. And it'll be again.
But the Argentina, I feel like you can just sit and drink that.
Yeah, they craft that the same fashion. So that's also a wine that's crafted to be drunk young.
I'm not sure the Argentinian or the Sonoma, the Baus family, I would want to save for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You would not.
I'm thinking the next...
Drink it tonight.
2 years. You know what I mean? I think these are wines to open
up and
drink.
But I think that's what... people need those too.
Oh,
you need stuff you could drink tonight. You can't cellar everything.
Wow.
Or someone like me comes and starts drinking it, and then that's
the
a problem.
On the way home,
exactly. Or I'm going to raid the cellar and drink the stuff you're supposed to hold, so that's no good. All right, Gary Girard, you guys are awesome. These are awesome wines. I love the comparisons of them all. I'll put all the links. I'll make sure everyone has access to all of them. You got to try these, and you certainly got to serve them at your next holiday party. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cheers.